From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carl bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Aidan McCarthy of SmartBiz, whose mission is to provide the best possible solutions and support in the areas of print, managed print, and office technology. SmartBiz has a recognized reputation in designing, installing, managing, and servicing a full range of print-related hardware and software, and since setting up almost 20 years ago, has established itself as a leading provider of print and managed print solutions to both large corporate clients and also to the SME sector. Aidan, thank you so much for joining me today on AIBF Business Talk. Aidan, you're a Galway man. I know that's where you're based, where your business is based. But tell us a little bit more about the work that you do at SmartBiz and about your managed print solutions, because I know that I myself, I suppose, I'm not fully understanding of the whole concept of what is a managed print solution.
Managed print is basically looking after an organization's printers and looking after the support and maintenance and the toner of them. It also it could encompass us putting in the equipment or taking over the existing equipment that's on site there. And it you can have different types of managed print. So you can have one where we supply basically all the equipment, maintenance, support, toner, everything, and we fund it or it's putting on a rental. Or sometimes the company will choose to buy the equipment and then they would contract us for typically 5 years to maintain and support all that equipment, either with including a certain amount of prints every month, or they're just charged on a what we call a per print basis. So if they print 1,000 pages in a month, they're charged for 1,000 or 20,000, whatever the case may be. So it's quite a flexible solution. It's designed to be we can kind of chop and change it as it suits an organization. Some companies prefer to have one fixed charge for all the printing. They don't want to be billed separately for prints or whatever. They want the equipment, the maintenance, everything, all the prints included, for one monthly fixed fee, we'll call it.
What exactly would be the main drivers behind why a business would need or want a managed print solution rather than maybe having their own printer and they're looking after it themselves?
It depends on the organization. In large organizations, I won't say cost isn't a factor, but it's not the main concern. They don't want their IT people to be caught or managing printers, particularly sites that would have an awful lot of printers. They don't want them to spend a lot of time working on looking after printers. It's a headache from the point of view of managing them as regards if there's problems with machines, with them breaking down, jamming, that type of thing, which is kind of generally that's the most you'll come across, is the jamming issues with machines. They don't want the hassle of trying to maintain that. Also, a big issue in organizations, particularly ones that would have a lot of printers, is even looking after ordering toners, making sure that they're in time, that they're not ordering. You'll often find in organizations that you'll have two or three people ordering toners. Sometimes two people could be ordering toners for the same machine at the same time, and then you have this big stock of stuff. So they want, a more streamlined system that stock is managed carefully and that the machines are supported in a timely manner. Because what happens sometimes with organizations when they buy machines themselves, they get a warranty or whatever on the machine, and they need support on it. If they were going through the manufacturer for support on those machines, it could be days before an engineer would get out to them. And we actually, in our business, we actually have, particularly in the larger organizations, if a printer goes down and they're not able to print, it literally stops a whole department or production area from printing. So in some of them, it's actually mission critical. They can't afford, they are very limited downtime. So that there are some of the reasons. Also then in the smaller ones, it's more down to cost. So they're spending a lot of money on printing. They don't know how much they're spending, but they know they're spending a lot, and they want to have more control over it and not to have the hassle of, again, buying toners and managing and maintaining it.
So you're obviously hitting a really good pain point with many companies and organizations that are wasting time, energy, effort, staff, money, costs, and all of that with trying to do something that isn't maybe their core business.
No, exactly. And what you'll find as well is sometimes it depends on an organization as well. Like after the downturn there back in 2008 and for years afterwards, all companies wanted to do was drive costs down. So they were looking at every aspect of the business. And one of the areas they would look at then is printing and printer running costs. So then that was their big concern. That's changed slightly now over the last while. It's more down to just more management and support. Like, for example, now we have a customer there now. They have a big issue around security. And it's an issue becoming a bigger issue now in organizations, leaving confidential documents printed and left on top of the machine. They don't want that happening. They want control over it. So again, we have a software solution that works along with our printers that a document will not print from a machine until it's actually released by that person either using a pen or a swipe card. So it's really different course for different horses. Basically, you know, when you go into an organization, what they're kind of looking for, it can be, as I said, purely cost, or it can be cost and security, or it could be the whole management. It's really across the board, you know.
Okay, so if you bring us back, Aidan, to where it all began, because you're in business now over a decade, and in that last decade we've seen really good times and we've seen a very testing time in the last 18 to 24 months. But when you set up in business back in 2011, how did it all start, or what was the catalyst for you setting up the Smart Biz?
We were, myself and Graham, my business partner, we were working for a company that were in for years involved in managed print and had done very well, and I worked for them for as a salesperson there, I suppose a senior salesperson there for nearly 5 years. And we just felt the way they were running things and the way they were looking after the customers wasn't great, and we were slightly concerned about it. I had always wanted to run my own business or get involved in setting up my own business, and I'd be putting it off. You'd always find a reason not to do it instead of doing it. And it got to the stage where we weren't happy with the way things were being run. The business was starting to lose customers, and we felt that if we didn't do something, we should try and do something to capture those customers that are going to go, and at least we try and hold on to them. So we felt it was the right thing to do, and we actually, myself and Graham, my business partner, we left the company then, or my old company, set up SmartBiz, and we just went from there.
And how has the business evolved since then? So when yourself and your partner, you know, went out, you decided to, you know, went the entrepreneurial curiosity and you saw that you could do things, you know, better based on past experiences.
Yeah.
How has it grown or evolved since?
Well, it literally started, we used Graham's house because he had a big back garden. So we worked from that shed there. And we said it went from there, just the two of us. And we've now got a premises in Galway. We have two full-time engineers on the road. We have a full-time accounts person, a warehouse manager, and we also have a couple of other engineers that are contracted to us as well. So it's grown quite substantially from where it started out. We're just the two of us.
So you're glad that the entrepreneurial spirit came through and you succumbed to back in 2011, because you mentioned something there, Aidan, which is just so true. You know, too often we find a reason not to do something, and it's too easy to do. And for a lot of our listeners here, you know, today, that might be in a role or in a job, and maybe there's a burning passion or ambition inside them. You know, now is always the best time to start something.
Yeah.
You know. And just, you know, from the time that you started up, you know, back in 2011, when you said that you were working in your partner's, you know, backyard in a shed, you know, what's been your biggest challenge in growing the business to date?
We've had a couple, I suppose. When we were starting out the first few years, the biggest challenge was we had, I suppose, a good kind of contact database that we could go to see if we could take that business. But a lot of companies, because we were so new, were nervous about doing business with us because they were afraid you could be gone in 12 months or whatever. So that was a huge challenge for us, trying to get people to have the confidence to believe in us and go with us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was probably our biggest challenge more than anything. I suppose the other one was the business we're in is very competitive, and it's very, like, it can be very aggressive as well. And there's actually a small number of very, very large players in this market who would be many times bigger than us. So that can be difficult as well. But more the biggest challenge more so is just getting people to believe in us for the first few years, because I think it isn't until you're kind of 3 years in business are people kind of, what can I say, they're less nervous about you going to the wall then, or you know what I mean? Or you know what I mean? They think you're kind of established in at that stage.
It's so a track record.
You have a track record, exactly. So for the first few years, that was the hardest part. And it actually cost us business as well, because some people, why they may have wanted to deal with us, were still nervous because they were afraid you could be gone in 12 months or whatever, you know, because especially as well when we set up, we were still kind of, the country was still in a recession, things weren't good, you know what I mean? I mean, some people thought we were crazy to set up when we did, because of the thought, and I thought the recession was the best time to set up, you know what I mean?
Did it all recover?
Yeah, but a lot of, I suppose, we were setting up in very difficult times, so companies were nervous with dealing with us, but thankfully we kind of got over that hump, and that never comes up now, I suppose, anymore, you know what I mean? It's never raises an issue or a concern anymore, you know?
And why do you think that is, Aidan?
I suppose because we've established ourselves now, where we've very much established ourselves at this stage. We have a good customer base, and we've also, in that customer base, we've some very large kind of blue chip sites that, you know, that would be well known in the market. So I suppose that gives you a certain level of, what would you call it, expertise or whatever, or at least you know what you're about, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it gives you a certain status, I suppose, as well, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'd say that would be, yeah.
And just, I suppose, you know, you've obviously learned a lot along the way, because, you know, going the entrepreneurial route is not always the easiest route. What's one of the biggest business lessons that you've learned?
The biggest lesson I've learned is, I always keep your feet firmly on the ground. So never get carried away. Never think you're there or you've made it. I love getting a sale. And I like getting big sales, and you like getting big deals. They don't come around that often, but when you get them, I never get carried away. Keep my feet firmly on the ground. You kind of pat yourself on the back for a minute, and then you just move on. Because I don't take customers for granted. That's the only thing I'd say. I don't take anything I have for granted, because I don't think you can afford to. You kind of have to keep on your toes all the time, and not just kind of sit back and think you're there. You know what I mean? It's an ongoing work in progress or whatever. You know what I mean? You just have to, you know.
Well, very well put. And then I suppose on the other side of it, you know, when we're working as employees, we've got the safety and the comfort net, you know, of being an employee.
Yeah.
And then when we go out on our own, maybe some more of our weaknesses or, you know, things we need to put our socks up on or maybe expose.
Yeah.
What would you say were your weaknesses as an entrepreneur, and how have you dealt with them on your business journey over the last 10 years?
Well, starting out, I suppose my weaknesses were... The problem when you set up for yourself is you kind of have to know a little bit about everything, you know what I mean? So, like when I worked in my previous job, all I did was sales, and all I had to worry about was sales, that was it. Whereas when you work for yourself, all of a sudden you're worried about other things, like you're starting to worry about stock, you're starting to worry about the accounts, the bank, all that type of stuff. So I find that a challenge, and I traditionally hate accounts, but I kind of do a lot of stuff working with accounts now, in the sense that we have a full-time accounts person, but I would still work with them a lot with the day-to-day accounts and stuff, and doing invoicing and stuff like that. There was a time in the business where I was doing an awful lot of the invoicing for the company, which I would never have thought myself, and I kind of had to learn all that and teach myself that, because we use Sage for our accountancy system, but again, it wasn't something I was used to, so that I found that a challenge. And you just find that you have to take on stuff that you didn't think you'd ever have to do, or you know what I mean? Again, there's times when I've gone out to help when there's a lot of pressure on, when I've had to go out and do service calls and pitch in and help out that side of the business. And I've done quite a bit of that, not as much now, obviously, but down the years I've had to. So you had to start learning about other areas of the business. So you kind of have to you don't have to be an expert on all every part of it, but you're going to have to know a little bit about every part of it. And that has been a challenge, you know.
And sometimes, I suppose, you know, for myself, I know, you know, actually knowing what you don't know is so important. Actually, you know, be aware, exactly. Have an awareness around what you don't necessarily know, but what, exactly. You know, is important maybe for the business and get the expertise then from different facets. What advice, Aidan, from your own experience, would you give to another person, you know, in another Irish business in a similar role?
Is it, they're already in the role at the moment, is it?
Yeah, so if you had another business owner that's on here set up with the last decade, 10 years, is managing everything themselves and is at the same, I suppose, you know, period of business, would you share? What were the
I think that the biggest thing is, and something we're looking at ourselves and still have to look at, is sometimes when you have to be able to, I suppose, relinquish control. So that's probably the biggest thing, is you have to be able to put your trust in other people. Sometimes I know business owners, they have to be in control and managing and maintaining everything. They have to have control over everything in the business. And I don't think that's always a good thing. I think you have to be able to bring in people, trust them to manage it and maintain it. Like when we took on our accounts, a person, first of all, some years back, I mean, she's absolutely brilliant. We'd be lost without her now. But initially when she took on the role, I was nervous about handing all over a lot of the accounts to her, because I used to do a lot of that stuff. And would she do it right and manage it? She's actually doing it, managing it better than I ever could have. So that would be my biggest thing. You'd have to, there will come a point when you'll have to relinquish different facets of your business. You'll have to release control of that. Let people run it how they think it should run. Because you need, for me, I need to be spending more time just working on sales, and that should be my focus, and not worrying about it. I should let other people worry about that part of the business. So that would be my biggest piece.
Yeah, and that's great advice. And it's so true that as business owners, you know, so many of us have given birth to our own companies and own businesses. Yeah. And, you know, we really like to kind of, I suppose, keep our arms wrapped around it. Whereas actually sometimes if we release, and even if the job isn't done maybe 100% to how we'd like it, well, it's actually freed you up to focus on what you do best. Yeah. And to drive the business forward from that, you know.
We've taken on just recently a new warehouse guy started working for us, and we've literally given him a free run now, and we're letting him put in all sorts of systems and what way he thinks he should be run. And we actually haven't stopped him doing anything that he wants to do, because everything he's come up with so far is a good idea, you know what I mean? So, and he's happy because he's been given that sort of free role. So I think that's important, rather than stifling and saying, no, you can't do that, or we're saying, okay, we'll try this or we'll do that, you know what I mean? So I think that is very important.
And that really fosters a sense of creativity as well, doesn't it? An innovation within a team. Because you've got, you never know what's the next good idea or what's coming from where.
Well, I think if someone comes into a company and they show initiative, it's important, that you encourage it in, or let them, you know what I mean? Let them use that initiative. I think it's very important, rather than stifle them, you know?
What do you do yourself, Neil? I won't say outside of work, but what do you do yourself to continue to grow and to upskill yourself? You know, that might be a hobby. It could be, you know.
My big thing is the gym. So I like to do a lot of gym stuff outside of it. That's my way of kind of de-stressing or whatever. And and I also do, I've started lately doing a little bit of meditation. I've dipped my toes with the meditation. So
very good. And how are you finding that?
It's hard. It's very hard, actually. It's to teach your brain to not do anything. It's actually very, very hard, you know.
But I've actually found,
completely. And I don't do it every day or like that, but I've started doing it more than I used, and I find it very good. And I'm big into sports as well and stuff like that. Or just general stuff, DIY stuff around the house, that type of thing, you know what I mean?
So you're good to be able to get that sense of headspace for yourself. What's next, Aidan, for SmartBiz? Because you've made some journey and some traction in the last decade. You know, what lies ahead?
That's where we're kind of at the moment. We're actually stuck there at the moment. We're kind of racking our brains because we're trying to come up with different things where we need to go on next. We've kind of grown the business, and it's grown very quickly over the last number of years. We've been growing on average about 20-30% per year. Now, obviously, with COVID, that slowed things right down. But it's coming to a point now where we'll have to start looking at other areas. So we're looking at getting into interactive screens. Mm-hmm. We're possibly looking at bringing on some new ranges of software that we can, just kind of stuff that can kind of work alongside the print side of it and a nice kind of tie on to that side of it, you know what I mean? So we're kind of complementary, exactly. So we're kind of trying to, at the moment, we're actually trying to dip our toes now and look at a couple of other areas and see where we can go next or where we need to go next. You know what I mean?
Sounds exciting. So it definitely sounds like there's, you know, the last couple of months there hasn't been much downtime. It's a lot of thinking time as to what else can be done.
Yeah, trying to rack the brains at the moment.
It's no wonder that you've been recently acknowledged and received, you know, your 3-in-a-row Business All-Star. What does this mean for you and for SmartBiz? Because, you know, to get a hat trick 3 times in a row, 3 years in a row, you know, achieving Business All-Star accreditation, that's a very, very, you know, admirable feat.
Yeah, I suppose having the accreditation, it just gives us a certain, it gives us a certain level of professionalism. That's what the big thing for us. And it looks good because we can put our accreditation on our proposals and stuff like that. I think it shows a certain level of professionalism that we're doing something right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd like to actually look at getting more types of accreditations like mm-hmm. of the All-Star accreditation. I think it's very important because it will show customers and potential customers, you know, that we have systems in place, that we're a professionally well-run organization.
Absolutely. And I suppose it ties back in as well. Do you remember at the very start, you know, when I asked you, you said some of the challenges maybe that you had at the start in business was, you know, getting people to trust you and say, hang on here, you know, and that obviously, you know, you've come a long way since then and now being, you know, recognized as an All-Star means that, look, you're trustworthy, you're customer-centric, and you're performing really well as well. So Aidan, I'd just like to lift the bonnet of the car and maybe get to know Aidan personally a little bit better. So I'm just going to fire a few quick questions to you. Don't think too long and hard. Just whatever is the first answer that comes to the tip of your tongue will suffice. It's moreover for our entertainment than for anything else. What's your most cherished possession, Aidan?
My most cherished possession. I have a couple of things. I have a few things. I have a Beano collection from when I was a young fella. Beano comics and animals, which my youngest daughter, I got her into reading Beanos, and now she's obsessed with them. And the animals that I had 100 years ago, she's now reading them, which I think is nice. And it's nice when I see her reading the ones that I was reading when I was a child, you know. And I have a couple of things. I have a Manchester United jersey, which was the first jersey I got when I was about 10 years of age. I still have that jersey. And I caught my oldest daughter wearing it there recently and nearly killed her.
Brilliant.
it's just kept now as for sentimental value.
Very good. Brilliant. And two really good, you know, really good things to have from your childhood as well. If you could send some advice back in time to your 20-year-old self, Aidan, what wisdom would you share?
What wisdom I would share? I would probably tell my 20-year-old self, my only regret is when I set up the business, I didn't do it 10, maybe 15 years ago. And that's probably what I would tell myself. So back in my 20s, which would probably nearly have been easier nearly that time because I wouldn't have had children that time. I wouldn't have had a mortgage, all the things that you kind of use as an excuse not to set up a business. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think obviously you need a certain level of experience as well or to work in the workplace for a while, but I would still... Looking back on it, that's my only regret that I didn't do it sooner. That was probably the other thing. So I would tell my 20-year-old self, just go and do it, you know what I mean? And don't be looking for excuses not to do it.
Very good. And ironically, that's actually a very similar answer that we receive from many entrepreneurs, you know, when they eventually do set up. So if there's anybody listening here today that's thinking or toying about setting up their own business, you got it there from Aidan, just do it. Aidan, tell us something that most people wouldn't know about you.
I suppose people sometimes people meet me, they think I'm very, I don't know, I come across as fairly confident. Mm-hmm. I suppose the thing about me is I actually doubt myself a lot more than I probably portray. So people probably wouldn't realize that I've a lot more doubt about myself, and I doubt myself an awful lot more probably than I should have. I don't give myself enough I'm quite hard on myself. I don't give myself enough of praise, and I kind of beat myself up a lot. So, but people, I wouldn't come across that way. So people probably wouldn't know that about me, but that's probably my weakness is.
So Aidan, when you were a child, right, we know that you love the Beanos. We know now that you love Man United. But what did you want to be when you were a child? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I didn't really aspire to, there wasn't really anything in major. Funny enough, when I was young, I kind of always wanted to work for myself. And I had said that from a young age, I actually remember I set up, when I was in my very early teens, I set up a business going around doing lawns and cleaning windows and all that. And I did quite well at that. And I used to have a kind of a customer base that I could go to for throughout the summers and breaks.
A bit of cash.
Yeah. So I kind of had, that was kind of the one thing I'd always said I'd do. I'd always set it in my head that I would work for myself someday. That was my kind of a main. And I wanted to go to college first, get some qualifications, work for a while, and then go work. That's kind of what I'd always, yeah.
The spirit was in you. The flame was always there. Just needed to be kindled up a little bit more. If you could have a dinner party and invite any four people, who would you invite?
Well, one person I would love to invite actually is, he died recently, but it's Robert Fisk. He was a very interesting man. I used to love listening to him. I found him a very intelligent man as well, and very good on Middle East affairs, and a very interesting man to talk to, even about general stuff. Who else? Peter Kay, the comedian. He's a really funny guy. I think he'd be great. He'd be very entertaining as well at the dinner table. I'd like to invite Alistair Campbell. I don't know, he used to be Tony Blair's, whatever you want to call him, guru or whatever you want to call him. And probably, funny enough, it's a complete curveball, Nigel Farage, the former UKIP guy. Because I'd like to sit down and challenge him about a few things at the dinner table. Like Alistair Campbell and Robert Fisk there, I think that would.
There'd be a few sparks flying at that dinner table by all manner means.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you had a motto in life, what would that be?
I had a motto. I suppose the motto would be don't take things for granted. I suppose that would be my motto. I'm a great believer in that. I've seen it in the past, which particularly when you work in sales, you come across a lot of people who are, I won't say they're confident, but they're also arrogant. I think that can come across with people as well. So my main motto is I don't get carried away. I keep my feet firmly on the ground. Look after your customers. That's the big thing. And don't take them for granted. That would be my big thing. Never take what you have for granted.
And because the stellar advice and wisdom in that, you know what I mean, for anybody at any stage in life or business. If anybody listening in today would like to get in touch with you, how could they get in touch with you?
They can contact us through our website, through www.smartbiz.ie. That's probably one thing, or you can get me at aidan@smartbiz.ie.
Brilliant, lovely. Aidan, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you here today. I know that I certainly have learned a lot. My assumptions as to what Managed Print I'm going with are much different to what I thought they were at the start. So thank you for clearing that up for me today, but also for sharing some invaluable lessons. You know, most importantly, just keep your feet on the ground and value your customers.
Yeah.
Aidan, thank you so much for joining me. Take care.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carl. Goodbye.